Have you ever attended a meeting or a convention of church leaders and pastors? Kind of like associational meeting. The common expectation for church leaders and pastors is for us to behave with dignity. That's the expectation. Oh, Pastor Yan, we expect them, church leaders, Yan, we expect them to behave with dignity, and yet it's not necessarily 100% accurate. Pastors and church leaders can be passionate and assertive, and they can also be discreet, but also careless. There was this first time delegate who attended a convention of churches represented by pastors and church leaders. And during the meeting, there's this interesting issue that polarized opinions. There's this heated argument that erupted, and delegates just don't listen to the president or the one who is holding the meeting. And they just, everyone would just shout their own ideas, their own opinion. And so they have a break. And during the break, this first time delegate was introduced to a popular individual. Oh, this is brother so-and-so, and he's planning to enroll the seminary. And that popular individual tested him. So, you want to be a pastor? Huh? Did you see those pastors and church leaders, how they behave? And it stopped there, but that challenge, that test, it came to that first time delegate. Make sure you have God's calling for you, or you will be frustrated, something like that. And there are various practical realities in life that may scare anyone to accept a call to full-time ministry or to enroll in the seminary. We have this financial support. Saan ako kukuha ng pambayad sa aking seminary? In the seminary in North America, the tuition fee in the seminary is really high. And there's this insecurity, that introvert personality. Hindi naman ako outgoing na tao. How can I be? And also, they are frustrated with bad reputation, heard about popular pastors who did sometimes unforgivable people. I say unforgivable because the church cannot forgive them for what they have done. And there are also this thriving career. Oh, I'm about to be promoted next month. Why would I miss that opportunity or something like that? Or my business is growing, and why would I miss that? And there's also this family concern. Oh, my family needs financial support, so I need to work more to support them. They are my first ministry or something like that. And truly, our first ministry is our family. Or they would say, no, I'm not good enough. I'm not I don't have any quality of a good leader. I have no experience. There are many undefined realities. Listen carefully. God has never called those who were very confident in their capabilities. And God would never call anyone who is very, they would trust their abilities to help them. If you look at the Bible, Moses said, when the Lord called him, he was old, of course, but he did not say, "Oh, I'm old." No, that was not his reason. He said, "I'm slow to speak. I am slow to speak." Perhaps because many of older people would speak slowly. There was this story about a person who, from Asia, he wanted to travel west. So he bought a fake passport and make his face like an old 82 years old. Everything was so fine, but when he speak like a young person. And you hear young people in Canada mostly, they would speak very fast. But for older people, we speak very slow. Maybe that was the problem of Moses. And Isaiah said, "I have unclean lips." Well, in my early years as Christian, I have also unclean lips. I would speak what we call bad words, or words that are not supposed to be uttered by believers. And still, I can still hear people would speak asterisks, numbers, question marks, exclamation point. How do you write that when you type that? Hashtag, something like that. And you cannot even spell that in the internet, because the internet would say that is not acceptable. We experienced that when we were going to a meeting, and our driver was a church leader, and when somebody cut off his path, he uttered something that, "Oh, okay, now." And who else? Jeremiah. Jeremiah said, when the Lord called Jeremiah, he said, "I'm young, no experience." Accordingly, Jeremiah was 16 years old at the time, and when the Lord called him to go and speak to the people, and who would listen to a 16 years old when he go? Well, there was this young person who was promoting very fiercely about the climate change. You have heard about that, so it might be something like that. But in Amos said, "I'm just a shepherd. I'm not even a son of a prophet." How about Hosea? Hosea had adulterous wife. In Jonah was a prejudice. He's a racist. Accordingly, I don't know how you would describe him against those potential believers that God wanted him to preach to. And the Lord Jesus chose these ordinary men as his first disciples, fishermen, uneducated fishermen, unlearned fishermen, tax collector. Tax collector were despised. If there's work that people would not like to appreciate or clap their hand when they appear, it's the tax collectors, because tax collectors would ask for more than what is required accordingly, according to historians. And there was the doubters. They cannot believe fully the Lord, doubting Thomas, if you would. There's this renegades, zealous extremist. The Lord won't call a perfect individual to serve him. He would not. Because nobody is perfect, but God only. God only is perfect. So, the Lord calls the weak. The Lord calls the imperfect. The Lord calls the not expert. Why? Because he wants us to rely upon him and not upon our abilities. Peter said in Mark chapter 10, 28 to 31, this is popular to you, and I hope you would continue to remember this. Let's read this together. We have left everything to follow you. Truly, I tell you, Jesus replied, no one has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or field for me in the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age. Homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and fields, along with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last the first. Nobody knows exactly 100% what we know or how much one needs or how much you need. Do you know how much you need? Do you know what you need? Most of us would buy groceries when it's, for example, there's sales, bargain, groceries, we go and buy many, and then put them in the storeroom, in the pantry. And guess what? We just throw away those expired groceries. Did you experience that? Have you ever thrown away expired spread, sandwich spreads, or something like that? Peanut butter. We have in our ref. Many times I would go and check what's in there, and there's a lot of expired thing, and throw it away. See, as a church we do that. Individually you do that. We do that, right? Why is that? Because we don't know what we really need exactly. We assume we need it. We assume we need much, but we need only a few. We do not know exactly how much we need, but the Lord is the author of life, and He knows what we need. That is why sometimes we are not our prayers are not answered, because He knows when we need it. Sometimes we nagtatampo tayo sa Panginoon. Oh Lord, hindi mo namin binibigay ito. Because in our thoughts, we think that we need it. But He knew it, we don't need it. That's why He doesn't grant us sometimes the things that we ask. Young people these days, right? Have you heard that? Many young people would say, I'm bored. You go into the Facebook, to their Facebook. I'm not into Facebook, but I often see post, even if I don't have Facebook. I'm bored. Shepherd. The life of David, wala siyang magawa. What he did? He had his harp. That was what he did. And just played that harp, so he became a very good musician. When you're bored, look for something, maybe a musical instrument that you want to play. You might discover that you are very good in that. Now, David was satisfied as shepherd. He did not ask for more. What did he say? Verse 1. Can you go back to verse 1? The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. What does that mean? I lack nothing. Hindi niya kailangan ng ano pang bagay para lang siya ma-excite. He was not bored. Hindi boring ang kanyang buhay as a shepherd. Of course, he encountered dangers. There were wild animals. But as a shepherd, he was not scared. He even killed a bear and a lion. But in God's right timing, God was situated in a diversion road that leads to God's purposes for him. So when his father said, hey, David, come and bring this food to your brothers. Where's my brothers? Oh, they are there fighting the Philistines. And okay, I'll go. David just wanted to obey. Okay, I will go. And his brothers said, thought that he was just curious about the war. Oh, I just want to go and... No, he did not say that. I just want to go and watch how they fight and clap my hand if they win and maybe cheer for them. Or did he ever say, aha, this day I will become a hero. I will defeat giant Goliath. No, he just obeyed. That's all. Maybe, but God may have prompted him to fight when he heard that giant Goliath defying the God of the Israelites. And he defeated the giant Goliath. It was just a simple obedience that led him to that diversion road that leads him to the chains of his so seemingly boring life, to a very more exciting life as a king of Israel. A simple obedience. When Jacob went to Egypt, he was 130 years old. Nana Eleanor, 93 years old. Jacob was 130 years old. Now you can imagine how the physical feature of Jacob when he went to Egypt. Well, he lived 17 years more in Egypt. That 130 years old, he was already satisfied, ready to die any time. Why relocate, Lord? I can stay in Canaan. I can die here. Why relocate, Lord? But going to Egypt was crucial. He hesitated, so he prayed, Lord, is this really your will? And the Lord assured him and promised him, I will be with you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bring you back. I will come down to Egypt with you. Okay, Lord, your will be done. Verse 3 and 4, let's read this together. I am God, the God. Can you scroll back? There you go. Let's read. I am God, the God of your father, he said. Do not be afraid to go down to Egypt. I will make you into a great nation there. I will go down to Egypt with you, and I will surely bring you back again, and Joseph's hand will close your eyes. That was the assurance of the Lord that it was his will for him to go to Egypt. The Lord's promise was Jacob's assurance that may have removed his hesitation to relocate to Egypt. And Jacob trusted the Lord that the Lord is faithful to fulfill his promise, because he may have observed that this promise of the Lord has similarity to the promise he had when he traveled east to find a wife, then returned to Canaan safely. When Jacob left Beersheba and went to Haran to find a wife, the Lord appeared to him and assured him with similar promise. He said in Genesis chapter 28, verse 15, let's read this and compare. I am with you and watch over you. Wherever you go, I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. Now, at the time, Jacob was not sure. When his father said, go and find a wife among the relatives of your mother, he did not know which way to go. Maybe he knew he was going east, but which east? Is it northeast, east-west, southeast, or just straight east? He did not know. His mother may have described, we pass by here, this area, we pass by that area, we pass by seven rivers, I don't know. But he may have described, but the problem was Jacob was never been there before. And in his dreams, the Lord assured him that wherever he went, whichever direction he would take, he will be with him and watch over him. Wow, that is a great assurance. Lord, if I go southeast, will you be with me? Yes, I will be with you. If I go southwest, will you be with me? Yes, I will be with you. If I go straight east, will you be with me? I will be with you. So Jacob was very assured that whatever steps he would make, the Lord was with him, and he had proven that. And that was why when the Lord promised him again to be with him, to go down to Egypt with him, he had that assurance, because the first time the Lord promised, he fulfilled, and this time he sure know that the Lord will fulfill. So when he traveled to Egypt, it was also his first time to go to Egypt. He did not travel there before, but his sons were familiar of the road to Egypt because they've been there twice. But so Jacob was not worried which way, which direction he would go to Egypt. He knew that where Egypt, that he would eventually reach Egypt, because his children, his sons, knew the way. And there are many merchants that they can go along with going to Egypt. So he was not worried about which way to take. What he was worried about was that the kind of life waiting in Egypt. What life would I have? Here in Canaan, I am popular. Here in Canaan, people respected me. Here in Canaan, I have servants, and merchants would come and buy flocks from me. Everything I do, I am the boss. But in Egypt, will I have that privilege? And then, well, your son Joseph is the ruler of Egypt. Yes, he is the ruler of Egypt. But for a long time, maybe more than 20 years, dating Joseph, nakilala ko siya pa rin ba yon? Sometimes people would change, right? And he was scared of that. But the Lord assured him, I will be with you, when he prayed for assurance. Now, when we decide on crucial issues of life, it is actually a practice of faith when we seek assurance from the Lord. What is it that you want? How do you decide? Lord, gusto kong magiging engineer. Lord, sometimes gusto kong maging doctor. Lord, gusto kong maging carpenter. Sometimes gusto kong maging farmer. Apat ang pipilian ko, Lord. How would I choose? How would you choose? Jacob and his household went to Egypt because of crisis. Because they have problem. They have no food. And the only place where they can find food was Egypt. And God allows crisis. God allows troubles. God allows burden, difficulties in life. Why? To take us out from our comfort zone. For us to lead us to that diversion road that leads to his purposes in our life. So problems are very useful as God's instrument for us to respond to him, to where he wants us to go. When Israel and his household relocated to Egypt, actually the Lord, it was a fulfillment of circumstances that the Lord has declared for the descendants of Abraham. It was not only because of that crisis, but because it was a fulfillment of what God declared to Abraham. In Genesis chapter 15, verse 13 to 16, let's read this together. Verse 13. Now for certain that for 400 years your descendants will be strangers in a country not their own, and that they will be enslaved and mistreated there, but I will punish the nation they serve as slaves. And after that war, they will come out with great possessions. You, however, will go to your ancestors in peace and be buried at good old age. In the first generation, your descendants will come back here, for the sins of the Amorites has not yet reached its full measure. Now, listen. The Lord declared what may happen to Abraham's descendants. Abraham, this is what happened to your descendants. Really? Abraham did not have any child yet at that time. And yet the Lord was talking about descendants. Descendants? Lord, you are talking about descendants. I don't have a child. Maybe when Abraham told his wife, Sarah, the Lord told me that I will have descendants. Oh, really? But Abraham, we are old. Yeah, I know, we are old. But he said, I have descendants. Actually, they will be going somewhere else, a foreign country, and they will be there for 400 years. Oh, so what shall we do, Abraham? I know, Abraham. Here's Hagar. Be with her, and you will have descendants. That's why the following year, he had Hagar. Because they want to help God. They want to help the Lord for Abraham to have descendants. Sometimes we do that, right? When we have problem, when God promises us something, we want to help the Lord. Ang bagal mo, Lord, tutulungan na lang kita. Something like that. And we do that. When Abraham was 75 years old, the Lord promised him to make him into a great nation. Leave your country, and I will make you into a great nation. Lord, I'm 75 years old. Yes, because I am the Lord. That was why. And Isaac was born when Abraham was, how old was he? How old was Abraham when Isaac was born? 100. Maybe lalabas yan sa yung Bible trivia mamaya. Remember that. I don't know. But just, baka andon. At least alam nyo na yung answer. Now, at 75, the Lord promised Abraham, I will make you into a great nation. But for 25 years, he waited until he was 100. Bakit 100? Bakit hinintay ng Panginoon na magiging 100 si Abraham? Because Abraham was the father of faith. And that 100 means 100%. It's God's perfect timing, 100%. And he certainly fulfills his promise 100% sure. That is what it means. When he promised, he will surely do it 100%. Of course, it takes faith to believe that. That was why Abraham was called the father of faith. It says in Romans chapter 4, verse 16, in Galatians 3:7. Let's read this together. To those who have faith, those who have the faith of Abraham, he is the father of us all. And Galatians 3:7, let's read this. Those who have faith are children of Abraham. Now, if you have faith in God, you are Abraham's descendants. You are Abraham's children. And the Lord fulfilled his declaration for Abraham's descendants when Jacob and his household relocated to Egypt, and that was approximately more than 200 years after. 200 years later. Of course, Abraham did not say that. Hindi na niya nakita yan. But it happened. What can we learn from the fulfillment of the Lord's promise to Abraham and Jacob? What can you learn from that? Most often we cannot help but worry about our future. We worry about finances. We worry about our families. We worry about retirement. Now, sinong magre-retire sa Pilipinas? Hindi ako sasama. Punta na kayo at ako ay, kung andun na kayo, magbabakasyon ako. Alam ko andun kayo. Okay? Just inform me. And I will visit you, perhaps. I don't know. Did you hear any promise from God that you may want to hold on to? Did God has a promise for you? What is God's promise for you? Did you have one? That is one thing. That's one thing exciting in your relationship with the Lord. Ask the Lord now, even as young as you are, as young people. Lord, what is it that you want me to hold on to? What promise do you want me? Give me that idea. Do you have much faith that the Lord fulfills his promise to you? If you are shaky, then ask the Lord, Lord, increase my faith. I know that idea comes from you, but I want to believe it fully and trust you. Ask the Lord, increase my faith, increase my faith. Apostle Peter testified in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1 to 4. Let's read this together. To those who through righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ have received a faith as precious as ours, grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Now, can you go back to that? Grace and peace in abundance through. Grace and peace will be abundant through. How? Knowledge of God. The more we know the Lord, the more we know the Lord Jesus, the more we experience his grace, the more we experience his peace. And verse 3 and 4, let's read this together. Meditatively, his divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through this, has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desire. Previously, Peter said that they left everything just to follow Christ. What happened to us? We follow you. And the Lord said, I will multiply 100 times what you have. And now he is teaching that the Lord has already supplied everything we need for godly life. If your desire is to live a godly life, God has already prepared for that for you. Just ask for increase of faith. Lord, lead me to see how that happened in my life. Have you proven the fulfillment of the Lord's promise to sustain your needs for godly life? Now, let me check. You do not need to tell me. You do not need to raise your hand, but may I ask you personally, have you ever exploited that sick leave? Have you ever applied for sick leave even when you were not really sick? Don't answer. Just if you say in yourself yes, or you say, listen to this. There is this story about an employee who may have abused his right to sick leave. But before he reached retirement age, he became very sickly. This is true. Some of you may know this person. And he became a regular visitor in the hospital. Well, to visit a patient in the hospital, that is noble. But to get sick is terrible. So be careful what you wish. Desire a godly and righteous lifestyle. Sa palagay mo, naiisahan mo ang employer mo, naiisahan mo ang government. But the Lord is looking at you because he wants us to live a godly life. Our testimony is at stake, the way we live, the way we practice. Never mind magkaroon ng sick leave, huwag lang magkaroon ng sakit, di ba? Mas maganda yun. When we live, when we desire a godly and righteous lifestyle, we will never have any regret at all. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 12 to 14 says, let's read, for the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and ears, in his ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear their threats. Do not be frightened. Now, some of you may have been bullied in your workplaces. Well, don't fear. Don't be afraid. The Lord is watching you. How you will react and how you will trust or question the Lord. Lord, nasa tamang sitwasyon ba ako? Ba't ko na-experience to? Apostle Paul reveals in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12 to 17, let's read this. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil doers and impostors will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know that those from whom you learned it, and verse 15, how from infancy you have known the Holy Scripture, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scriptures is God's breath and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Now, are you a servant of God? Go and read the Bible, and the Bible would be your guide on how you will live a godly and righteous lifestyle. When Jacob prayed and asked for assurance from the Lord promised to be with him in Egypt, and That was a biblical demonstration of how the Lord sustains our need when we decide to follow Him and live a godly life. Furthermore, to prove that Jacob was very much willing to obey the Lord, what he did was he took everything, he took all his possessions, his household, and relocated to Egypt. That is a full, complete obedience to the Lord. Let's read again verse 5, 6, and 7. Then Jacob left Beersheba, and Israel's son took their father Jacob and their children and their wives in the cart that Pharaoh had sent to transport him. So Jacob and all his offspring went to Egypt, taking with them their livestock and possessions they had acquired in Canaan. Jacob brought with him to Egypt his sons and grandsons and his daughters and granddaughters, all his offspring. When Joseph instructed his brothers, he told them, go and take your families, go and take our father and relocate to Egypt. He was actually prophesying about God's declaration for Abraham's descendant to live in a foreign land. His brothers told his instruction to their father. Father, Joseph was the ruler of Egypt. He said, let's go and relocate to Egypt and so that we may have food. But Jacob was hesitated, and he prayed to be assured. Oh, is it really God's will? And the Lord confirmed it and promised him to be with him. Now, no turning back, Jacob. Jacob had willingly obeyed the Lord. So he took all his possessions, everything that he can carry, his household, his family, his grandchildren, everybody. He went with them. Perhaps his servants, you can leave if you want, but you can follow me if you want. I don't know. So he took all his possessions, his household, and relocated to Egypt. And Jacob, why did he do that? Because he did not plan of returning to Canaan. That is a picture of obedience without reluctance that the Lord requires from all who decide to follow him. There's no turning back. No turning back. We can experience more of the Lord's blessing when we follow the Lord with all our hearts without hesitation. Now, the Lord Jesus said in Luke chapter 10, verse 27, let's read this together. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. Now, how much love does the Lord require from us? All. That is the conclusion of loving the Lord. Maybe we haven't reached that yet, but we are on that, loving Him with all our hearts. Complete love, not less, not more. Complete love, that is what the Lord requires from us. And that is the goal that we are about to pursue. That we are able to love Him with all our hearts, our soul, strength. It requires all aspects of life. Now, can you read together? Can we read together about heart? Heart is the center of our being, moral preference, character, inner self, or intention. Soul is the seat of affection, will, identity, personality. Strength is physical ability, power, might, and force. Mind is disposition, understanding, thought, intellect, or insight. That is a description of scholars, Bible scholars, but it is not enough description. The center of our being, the heart, your heart, where you want to be, how you want to be known, how your life would go. It's kind of like the engine of yourself. And the soul, the seat of affection, your will, what you want, your identity, your personality. Personality comes in different areas. There's leadership personality, there's subdued personality, whatever personality God has given you. But does your personality glorify the Lord? Strength, physical ability, What do you do with your hands, your feet? Where do you go? Where do you eat? Where? What do you do when you are free? Your force. How do you spend your time? Is it for the love of the Lord? Mind, disposition, understanding. What do you understand? To have understanding, read the Bible. Thoughts. What are you thinking every day? When you wake up in the morning, what is it that you think about? Is it the Lord or the problem? Now, loving the Lord with our mind, even if we have problem, Lord, I have problem. That's you think about the Lord, not the problem. Think about how you the Lord would help you with the problem. Intellect. How do you use your intellect? Insight. How is it? Now, nobody can say 100% I love the Lord with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my strength, and all my mind. Not yet, not yet. But we are not supposed to stop when we cannot reach that perfectly. We are supposed to keep on growing in our relationship with the Lord. With that in mind, we are to say, do I love the Lord? Now, how do you prioritize the Lord? Or, Lord, gawin ko muna to, saka na lang yung gusto mo, ha? Well, the Lord understands that because He knew He wants us to grow deeper in our understanding. But the more we grow in our knowledge of the Lord, the more we will love Him because we know we will understand that His will is the best for us. Now, when Jacob brought all his possession together with all his members of his household, he did not plan of returning. He just wanted to obey the Lord completely and pray about that. Lord, I want to obey you completely. I want to obey you, but I can't. Truly, we cannot. Only by God's grace, only by God's empowerment, by the power of His Spirit, that we will be able to love Him completely. And the Lord assured Jacob to bring him back. Jacob trusted that the Lord decides when His perfect time comes. So did he have a plan? I will go home dates of this and that. No. It's funny because when we came here, kailan kayo uwi sa Pilipinas? First year pa lang namin, kaya kailan ka uwi? Ang tanong ka agad. Ano? And I said, sa 2020, and 2020 is next year, and I don't have any plan of going next year. I don't have that excitement to go home next year just yet. I don't know. Maybe 2021. I don't know. But Jacob, he decided when it's time, I would return. And he returned to Canaan when he died. So he returned eventually. Everything we do, everything we decide, especially crucial decisions, major changes of lifestyle, it is very advisable to pray, seek the Lord's signal and assurance. And you will not regret. In Proverbs chapter 12, verse 15, in Proverbs 16, verse 9, let's read this together. The way of the fools seems right to them, but the wise listen to advice. In the heart of human plan their course, but the Lord establishes their step. Even if we go on what we want, we're just hurting ourselves if it is not the will of God, because the Lord will eventually allow us to have that, but He will continue to redirect us, divert us to that direction He wants us to pursue, the best plan for us. Now, many, have you attended a wedding lately? What is it that you would take when you go to a wedding ceremony? Many would not reject elaborated wedding plans. They like to have elaborated wedding because they want to be the best of the best, kind of like the kings and the queens, something like that. And believers are tempted to advertise illustrious wedding, beautiful dresses. They would show, oh, this is what I used. Now, I read a very clever woman who used a beautiful wedding dress, but said, oh, it's a waste because I used it only once. So what he did, she cut that gown and then dip it in a dye and colored it with something else, and she wore it again. It's so wonderful, what beautiful. Now, women loved wedding dress, beautiful wedding dress, or fancy decoration, or fancy illustrative wedding, and even delicious food. You like that, right? No problem about that. But which part of wedding is widely shared in social media? Is it the gown that you prepared? Is it the decoration that you prepared, your plan? Is it the food that you eat? No. The mistakes, the accidents, the confusion during the wedding, that is what people want to share about your wedding. Couples spend much time preparing for their wedding day and spend less time preparing for their lifetime married life. I heard stories like they spent thousands of money to have that illustrious wedding. And then the mother told, we need to have this occasion party also. In the following day, after the wedding, the husband divorced his wife because he was so, I can remember my brother. He had a very illustrious wedding. I had a very simple wedding. But my brother had a very illustrious wedding with a rented thing, everything. And he spent much money, but he spent money that he paid for more than 15 years, deducted from his salary. It was very tough for him, but I cannot. Well, you enjoy it for one day at least. That is how people would think. That is a practicality that illustrates how much most of us approach life as believers in Christ. You want to have that one day excitement. But there are just few believers who would sincerely prepare for life in eternity. The church, we are a congregation of believers. The church, we are the bride of the Lamb of God, Christ. And we live with Christ for all eternity, not for 100 years, not for 1,000 years, not for 1 million years, not for billion years, for all eternity. Have you planned for your eternal life with the Lord? Ask the Lord for help. The Lord Jesus said in Matthew 6, verse 19 to 21, let's read this together. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Now, for marriage to grow strong, we need the guidance and empowerment of the Lord. Similarly, to store up treasures in heaven, we need to willingly obey the Lord with all our hearts, soul, mind, and strength. Ask the Lord to give you an idea how you may approach your life as a believer that will translate to eternity. Today I remember this is our 29th anniversary as husband and wife, my wife and I. Today is September 2019. Thank you for your prayers. It's my prayer It's my prayer that you would pray for us to become strong in our marriage, to encourage young people to grow strong. As many of you would say, married life is not easy, but we want to exemplify how God strengthened us so that when we talk about marriage, we can testify that it's true, God can enable us to have strong marriage. Yeah. So it's my prayer also that married people in this sanctuary, in this church, would continue to grow strong in their knowledge of the Lord. We just cannot rely upon attraction. If at first you were attracted to your husband and your wife because they are handsome, they are beautiful, we cannot rely upon that because we know we grow old, we are not as attractive as we were. But by the strength that in the empowerment of the Lord, we can grow strong. Why? Marriage, this is an illustration of our faith relationship with the Lord. The more we grow in our relationship as husband and wife, the more we trust that the Lord would love us all the more. This is why it's so beautiful that the relationship of God in the church is compared to husband and wife. Jacob did not plan of living the rest of his life in Egypt. He did not say, I will live in Egypt all my life. His son did not plan of relocating to Egypt. Oh, maybe we can stay here for a while, then go back to Canaan. We will find that out later. And severe famine made their life in Canaan so terrible. And they tried their best to survive. Jacob instructed his son, go buy food in Egypt. And so that we have food, maybe we can have good weather next time. Wala nang climate change next time. So we just wait for that. But the famine was so severe and they starved. Starving is something like, no, I'm dying in next week. You expect that, not starving. Because I have no more food. Maybe I can have water, but even water, it's not that much. Jacob made the right step when he prayed after he learned that Joseph instructed them to relocate to Egypt. The Lord confirmed for Jacob to relocate. Give him a promise. He assured him that he will go down to Egypt with him. Friends, do not be afraid. Do not worry about life. Ask how God may store up eternal treasure if you are assured of eternal life. Pray that the Lord may increase your faith in him. Pray that and be filled and empowered by the Holy Spirit. The joy of the Lord will strengthen us. You may not understand everything, but when the peace of God prevails in your heart, you will follow his lead. We will follow his lead without hesitation. May I have one request today? If it's just a few moments. Can you pray for us, my wife and I? Maribel, if you have. Can you pray for us? I would like us to become a testimony of God's empowerment. We started with simple wedding. You know how much I spent when we have our wedding? Guess. I just spent less than 40 pesos to hire a taxi going to my wedding. That was what I spent. Nothing more, nothing less. How was that? The church that we started from take care of everything. I don't know if the church would do that to somebody else in this, but I hope one day that instead of spending for wedding, just save that money and build strong family. But today, I would request you that you would pray for us, that we may continue to grow strong in our knowledge, in our faith in the Lord. For us, husband and wife, sino ang first love mo? Pag ganun ang tanong, ang sagot, the Lord, I'm good with that. Because I know when the Lord is your number one, it will follow. It will follow. I won't say to her, you are the number one of my life. No. Because that's fake. If the Lord is my number one, everything will follow. Can you pray that God would strengthen our marriage for a moment? And then we'll close in prayer.